Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real.
Oh, yeah.
It's a new experience.
Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Reality Spirituality, welcome, and thank you for joining me. I'm your host, Rebecca Lynn Norrington, and thank you, audience. Oh my goodness, you know, when I first started this Reality Spirituality almost a year ago, this Reality Spirituality show, I had no idea. I had no idea how to talk on the radio. Second of all, I had no idea in all the directions and all the things that I would learn and all of the growth that I would have because of this. But before I get to the topics today, I want to say welcome to my new listeners. Reality spirituality is a term that I use to describe our everyday life experiences and their link to spirituality. They're linked to spirituality and personal growth. Did you know that when you're standing in a line at the grocery market, you can actually experience a spiritual and a personal growth, a lesson? You can actually tap into spirituality, or when you're pumping your gas, or when you get cut off in traffic. All of this. Our life is a huge, huge link and lesson. Our life is about the universe tapping us on the shoulder and saying, excuse me, I have something to teach you. Excuse me, I have something to tell you. Now we can either listen or we can ignore. Or we can tune in. We have choices. But I'm here to tell you that everything that happens in your life has a link to spirituality and personal growth. And that's what this show, Reality Spirituality, is about. Reality Spirituality dissects everyday life experiences down to the least common denominator to determine and to discover why we are not as happy as we could be. You know, the reason why we say we want money, or we say we want a bigger house, or a bigger title, a job, a position. We say we want all these things, or we think we want all these things, and we strive to get them, and we do accomplish our goals. But you know why? In my opinion, we do it because we want to feel good. Having that perfect person in your life, wanting that perfect person for you, is because you want to feel good. Right? Let me not presume that I know anything about you. Let me just speak about me. I thought that the happily ever after Cinderella marriages is Cinderella meets her prince living happily ever after. I knew that was going to be it. That was going to be the answer, the solution to all of my problems. Oh, I'm going to be happy forever. Oh, live happily ever after. Yes, it is possible to live happily ever after. But guess what? There are certain laws, there are certain universal laws that if not acknowledged and if not connected to, that happily ever after is going to be happily ever after, thumbs two, thumbs down. It's just not going to work. Look around you. I don't know, but when I look around, I see a lot of people that are searching and seeking and wanting this connection, but not knowing how to get it, not knowing how to find it. I have to admit today that I discovered something. The universe dropped into my lap an author, a person that I had never heard of before. Now, all the millions of spiritual leaders and spiritual writers, authors, speakers, I'd never heard of, you know, there's tons of us out there. And this woman's name is Barbara Berger, B-A-R-B-A-R-A, Berger, B-E-R-G-E-R. And before I go on, I want to say to my audience, feel free to call in with any comment, any question, thoughts about what's going on in your life, your journey, what you've discovered, what you've learned. And the number to call in is 646-564-9619. 646-564-9619. Now, this week is going to be a special week because I discovered Barbara Berger. I discovered Barbara Berger today. I even had a different show plan, and she offered this free book on a website that I've been featured on. It's called State of Appreciation. That's stateofappreciation.com, and it's basically a website where you can get tools, you can read articles by a lot of the spiritual movers and shakers in the world today. And I humbly say that I was one of those authors in a couple of editions. So that's where I found Barbara Berger, was on stateofappreciation.com, and she offered this free book. And of course I looked at the title and I was already hooked. The title of this short book is The Mental Laws, Understanding the Way the Mind Works. Now, you've heard of universal laws. You've heard of the law of attraction, the law of least effort, the law of gravity. There's plenty of universal laws, but there are mental laws. Now, what Barbara Berger has in her book, they're the same things I've been talking about, except for, let me say this, she capsulizes every aspect of our human mind perfectly. It's an easy read. It's an easy understand. She even has exercises that are so simple to prove her point, to prove the point of there are mental laws in the universe. And so I have to defer and give all the credit to Barbara Berger. And so I'm so grateful that I discovered her, and I'm so grateful. I mean, I haven't got to the end of the book, but I can't put this down. And let me share with you. By the way, this week we're going to do, just because of this book that I discovered, we are going to do 5 shows. Best of part 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and all with the title of the Mental Laws, Understanding the Way the Mind Works. Understanding the Way the Mind Works. Now, in introduction, Barbara says that she's been writing about the mental laws, but in this book, she just wanted to summarize and capsulize and basically an updated version, a short version of mental laws. And without an understanding of these mental laws, it's easy for us to become victims of our own mind. Instead of the master's questioning, we are victims, searching, stumbling. But the laws are simple. And more importantly, the mental laws of the universe are impersonal. Now, I'm just paraphrasing this book. I want to set up, give a little bit of foundation of what we're going to be talking about for the next 5 days. Once you understand the mental laws of the universe and how the mind works, and once you experience your life, which you already have, step one, you've already done that, you will be able to understand and you will be able to sift through some things that maybe you didn't understand before. I have to say that when I read the first 5-6 pages, I immediately felt lighter. And let me get to the point. What is a mental law? Well, according to Berger, a law is an unchanging principle that describes the way phenomenon work, describes the way phenomenon operate. These are laws that describe the way a physical phenomenon operate, and also how mental laws operate. And a law is a description of this is the most important word, impersonal sequence of events, which has nothing to do with the person, has nothing to do with the amount of people, nothing to do with the circumstances. A law is an impersonal sequence of events that has nothing to do with the person. So it's not personal. And laws of the mental mind and laws of the universe can be observed, and they can also be confirmed by anyone. Another important part of this law is that the law is not personal. So the law operates whether you're aware of it or not. In other words, if you jump off a building, you're going to fall and hit the ground, whether you know of the law of gravity or not. The law doesn't care about what you know. The law doesn't care if you're familiar with the law. The law just operates. And so it's a blind force of nature. And this blind force of nature, this law, this mental law, is operating whether we know it or not, where we're conscious of it or not. So when you start reading about the mental laws in Barbara Berger's book, it's a good idea to remember that the laws are invisible principles that describe and actually manifest without any concern about the person knowing. Rich person, poor person, old, new, laws are laws. So let's look at the mental laws. One of the first laws that Barbara Berger writes about is, which just had me, while I was reading this, my mouth was hanging open. The first law, she says, is the law of thoughts arising. She says that thoughts come in and out. Thoughts arise and they disappear. And this is true for anyone. This is true for everyone. No, we don't know why thoughts come in or out, but everybody has thoughts. And that's just the way it is living on this plane, if you will, in this planet. So you can confirm this or not. She's saying that law, that thoughts arise and disappear. So she gives an example of sitting down in front of a wall. She says in front of a white wall, a plain white wall with nothing on it. So sit down and then just start looking at the wall. And I want you to make a decision not to think. I want you to decide to look at this white wall, and then I want you to not think of anything. So have your mind go blank. Try it. Try to sit looking at a wall, a blank wall, and not think. Guess what? Can you do it? I couldn't. Well, why not? Because one of the laws, one of the mental laws, is that thoughts come up and thoughts go away. We have no control over that. Even if you tried to not think, even if you were trying to, I'm not thinking of anything, eventually you're going to start to think of something. And why? Because it's just not possible. It's not possible to not think. And it's nothing to do with doing anything wrong. It's just because that's the nature of the law of thoughts. And what's really interesting is Barbara was asked, what about people that meditate? Oh, people that meditate, of course, you know, you hear people meditating for hours, days. And she says that, yeah, lots of people meditate and they're able to calm their mind, but they're not able to stop thinking. So it means that you can slow your thoughts down and you can have a lot of gaps in between your thoughts. But to not think is not possible. But audience, this is what is so fascinating. Listen to this. When you're meditating, yes, you can slow your thoughts down and they don't come as quickly. But eventually thoughts will come. But guess what? There is a difference between you and your thoughts. You are not your thoughts. Isn't that crazy? I always thought that what I thought about, that was part of me. My thoughts are me. But Barbara Berger says, and I have to say, she summarizes it so well, we are not our thoughts. And she has proof. She has an exercise, a test, if you will, a quiz, and she says that go back to the wall. Go back to the white wall. You sit down and just start breathing. Now, what's going to happen? Well, probably the same thing that happened the last time. You know, your thoughts will come and go and come and go. But notice something else. Who or what is noticing your thoughts coming and going? What entity is noticing your thoughts coming and going? Is it the same energy that is having the thoughts? No, it's different. The thoughts that you're having are totally different from the person or the entity or the energy that's observing the thoughts. It's a different, I want to say person. It's a different entity. So you, my dear audience, you, my dear listeners, you're not your thoughts. You are the person observing the thoughts. You are the person witnessing the thoughts. In fact, Barbara Berger says it's the law of witnessing. So you're something else. You're the witness. You're the watcher. You're the observer. And when you start looking at that blank wall, you'll see that that's true, that there is a difference between you, the observer, the person that observing the thoughts, and the thoughts themselves. So what I'm saying is that the thought is, oh, this is a good day. This is a bad day. This is a cold day. This is a hot day. I feel wonderful this day. I'm depressed. I'm pissed off. I'm tired. Those are thoughts. But it's different. The thoughts are different from who you really are. This is really important because, in fact, you can test this, that you're not your thoughts. All it does is just taking practice being very conscious. And when you discover and when you start believing that there is a difference between you and your thoughts, the result is freedom. So you're gonna start feeling and knowing that these thoughts aren't even you. But we thought we were. But when you start waking up to the reality and realizing that the difference between you and your thoughts, it gives you the opportunity to just observe your thoughts as opposed to being ruled by your thoughts, or as opposed to being the emotions driven by your thoughts. Emotion because of the thought. The thought isn't even real. The thought is, no, the thought's real, but the thought isn't even you. So when you start really understanding and believing that there are two separate entities, thoughts and who you really are, and you, the person that observes all of this, you're going to relax and your shoulders down and take deep breaths, and you're going to start skipping and realizing that it's like going to the movies. You're just watching, you're just observing, but it has nothing to do with defining you. And once you've made this discovery, once you know that you're not your thoughts, but you're the observer of the thoughts, then the question is, then who are you? What's the answer? Who are you? And this is the most basic quality of existence. All you are, which is not all you are, but it's huge. You are consciousness. Your true self is consciousness. It's so basic. Because if you're not conscious, you're not having an experience. I mean, are you conscious right now? You're listening to me. You're conscious. So this activity, listening to the radio, must be. But consciousness is the background. Consciousness is the building blocks, the foundation of everything that takes place in our lives. Consciousness is the field of awareness, of knowing. So when you really start believing and knowing that you, the real you, is just this big ball of consciousness, and you're not your thoughts. I don't know about you, but when I started reading this material, and I knew it, but just having explained so basically, it's changed. It just lightened me up right there, in this afternoon. And like I said, we are going to. I would like to. This is going to be a five part series. This is part one today. And part one is, we are not our thoughts. We're going to do a part two, three, four, five. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, same thing, 7 o'clock. So tomorrow is part two. And tomorrow is the law of naming. How did we start naming things? How did we learn how to name what was happening in our lives? I mean, if you really think about it, a baby doesn't know that that's a ball until somebody says, hey, you know, ball, B-A-L-L, ball. Dog, whoop, whoop, D-O-G, dog. A baby doesn't know that until it's taught. So can you imagine what the hell was that baby thinking about before it was taught all of these terms, naming? So tomorrow we're going to discover the law of naming. And we're also going to talk about a little bit more of witnessing. But I'm telling you, this is going to be a powerful week, audience, of discovering and realizing and just relaxing with the real reality, not this illusion. What's real? And that's what we're going to be discovering this week. I want to thank you so much. Check out some websites that I'm on, stateofappreciation.com. selfgrowth.com, and also timetoplay.com, and you will find me, my articles. I want to thank you, audience. I will talk to you again tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard on Tuesday. Again, we're going over the mental laws of the universe and understanding the way the mind works. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality. Have a great evening.
Yeah, oh, it's time to get real.
Oh, yeah.
Reality Spirituality.
It's a new experience.
Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one.
Reality.